Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it looks like the conferees, this is the members of the House and Senate who are getting together to try and reconcile the differences between the House and Senate variations on this so-called stimulus bill. I call it the Jobs Bill. Yeah, I think it's, you know, badly named. In any case, it looks like they might have come to an agreement. There's a downside to this, and that is that the agreement doesn't involve forcing Harry Reid to call the Republicans' bluff and force a filibuster, which, in my opinion, is about the only way to make this thing really reasonable. Dan Gaynor is with us. By the way, greetings, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. Dan Gaynor is the vice president and T. Boone Pickens fellow at the Business and Media Institute, businessandmedia.org, the website. Conservative website, in fact, in part sponsored by Brent Bozell and the Media Research Council or Institute or whatever it is. Dan Setter, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Welcome to the show. And Dan...
Go ahead. Make my day.
Tell me what's wrong with this thing.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with... First of all, I don't know what they've come out with the conference committee, but what's been wrong with this is... You can call it a jobs bill, you can call it a stimulus bill, but it's definitely got a bunch of pork. And not everybody in the country agrees with Chuck Schumer that pork is something we don't care about. And you've got $2 billion for Future Gen. That's that coal power zero emissions plant that the Department of Energy shut down in Illinois. Yeah, Illinois, where our new president's from. You got... $88 million for Coast Guard to design a new polar icebreaker. I thought with climate change, we weren't going to have to worry about icebreakers. And, I mean, just the list goes on.
You realize, Dan, the things that you're criticizing are things that represent like 0.0001% of this thing. But let's look at the bigger picture here for just a second, Dan.
You can look at the bigger picture.
Sure.
If they don't matter, then why are they there? If this is really a bill
I think they're defensible.
Jobs,
I think they're defensible. What? If you're going to build an icebreaker, you're going to put people to work. I think they're defensible. If you're going to figure out a way to sequester carbon out of coal, you're going to put people to work doing that. And, by the way, it's a good thing. So I think that they're defensible. But nonetheless, it's Lauren O'Reilly for writing for the Business and Media Institute over at businessandmedia.org. In this piece titled Pork, Massive Debt, and More Reasons to Oppose Stimulus, quotes Ben Stein, who says, quote, "This is not a stimulus package. This is a Democratic Party rescue package and keep the Democrats in power forever package," end quote. And my response to that, Dan, and just let me put it right out front, what's wrong with that? You know, nowhere in the Constitution does it have the word leadership. Over and over and over again, the Constitution refers to representation. The people in Washington, D.C. are representing we the people. And if the majority of we the people, a Democratic, small d, voting majority of the people, want there to be these kinds of programs, they want there to be Social Security, they want new schools to be built, they want there, for that matter, to be an icebreaker that actually works and carbon sequestered out of coal, then isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
Well, the way it's supposed to work is we have a democracy, but we also have ways in Congress that these things get done. That's, you know, that is the way it does work, not just supposed to.
No, but you're not addressing my question. You guys are saying that what's wrong with this is that people are going to like it and they're going to vote in Democrats.
No, what's wrong
with
this?
And I'm saying, isn't that how the system is supposed to work?
No.
That our representatives are supposed to do what we want them to.
What Ben Stein was even saying is this is not designed to help people. It's designed to pay off people and something that you, your children, your grandchildren are going to be paying for. There are hundreds of economists in this country who think this is a bad and possibly dangerous idea to spend this kind of money.
And there are thousands of economists who think it's brilliant.
There are Nobel Prize-winning economists on both sides of this. This is what's scary for ordinary people. But we're only hearing
one side. And to make it even worse, we've got, and this is where it gets really bad, is I think most Americans don't know the difference between the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, this stupidly named what I would call the American Jobs Bill, this so-called stimulus bill, and the Toxic Asset Relief Program, or I would rename it the Toxic Relief Asset Program, the TRAP program, they call it the TARP program.
Americans
think that they're the same thing, and they can't figure out, you know, what's everybody fighting about, and they're just totally confused. And,
I don't disagree with you on that point. I think even further, because it was clear that Geithner didn't know what he was talking about yesterday. He wasn't ready to talk yesterday. The stock market responded to that accordingly.
Yep.
But one of the reasons they're trying to delay is so that the stimulus bill and TARP or TRAP 2, as you would put it, they don't get entwined. Because what's happening, even Democrats are getting the pushback from a lot of people who vote them in that we're spending too much money, that government that's supposed to be rational with our spending is not being rational.
Right. And to make it even worse for the Democrats and frankly for the few Republicans, you know, Spector and Collins and whatnot, who are supporting these
senators. They're Republicans.
The Republicans, to make it worse for them, you've got the bankers right now, as we speak, testifying before Congress, stuttering and stammering, and you know, one of them making the joke to the photographers, what do you guys do with all those pictures, as if he's thinking, gee, maybe I can figure out a way to make some money on this. You know, I mean, what it's doing is it's further conflating in the minds of the average American the stimulus package and the bank bailout. And the bank bailout, and in the bank bailout category, I'm totally opposed to this thing because it's not addressing any of the real issues that we need to go back to, you know, serious regulation. We need to go back to regulating how commodities are traded. This, you know, in 1998 when Clinton blew that thing up and the Republicans in Congress blew that thing up. In 1999, you know, with the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act when they carved out the Enron loophole, which was also a piece of the commodities thing. One to ten bank ratio, the Glass-Steagall Act. I mean, all of these things need to go back into place. These are the real issues. None of them are being addressed by Geithner. He's just looking to bail out his buddies on Wall Street, in my humble opinion. And I suspect that our reasons for opposing it might be different, but that we're both opposed to it. Let me let you riff on that for a moment.
Well, I was going to say, I think I have issues with Geithner right now. Biggest thing is he seems naive, which scares me. When you have a press conference and say, we're sort of going to do stuff whenever we decide we're going to do it, and people are expecting.
But Paulson was worse.
Yeah,
I mean, Paulson was like, you know, doing this little slick routine. You know, let me give you this three-page thing and make it into a law.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Paulson was right. I think Paulson was equally ripped, I think, by people on the right and the left for the infamous three-page plan. But what scares me about the big bill right now, the stimulus bill, is it does have a lot of pork. It's got these NEVs, neighborhood energy vehicles, or whatever the hell they're called, $300 million set aside for them. Conveniently,
what's wrong with that?
In North Dakota, because they're not, it's not a practical thing. If there's a practical reason to build something,
we need to become energy independent. We need, what are you? Are you in favor of the terrorists getting more money from us?
In favor of a car that goes 25 miles an hour is basically a big golf cart? Not particularly.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in America where a car that goes 25 miles an hour on electricity.
I don't think that's – if we're talking about, you know, these allegedly shovel-ready projects, and one of the big criticisms that Obama's gotten, frankly, is that, you know, the only thing that they're shoveling with the stimulus plan is not dirt.
Disagree. My criticism of the stimulus package is that it's not big enough, and that it's because we've got we're losing jobs at the rate of 600,000 a month right now, Dan Gaynor. That's 600,000 lives being shattered every single month.
In fact, I know some of the people personally.
I do too. And the government has to be the employer of last resort. That's the bottom line here. If the government is going to be the employer of last resort, they should employ in areas or create employment in areas by giving contracts to private corporations, which more than 90% of this does, which frankly I think is too much. But nonetheless, then they should do so in areas like cleaning up the environment, improving the our future.
You said employment of last resort, spending $200 million to change the sod on the National Mall is not something that's a last resort item.
But it needs to be done.
It doesn't need to be done. Speaking as a homeowner, in a downturn economy, you don't go and spend a lot of money on your lawn unless your lawn is going to completely cause you other problems.
Well,
I've been in the mall recently.
That mall got pretty badly ripped up.
That's fine. It may not look beautiful, but for $200 million, what else could you spend the $200 million on? You could spend it on something that helps people probably more than sod.
That's going to pay the salaries of some people who are going to go out there and replace that sod. Those people that are going to go into their community and buy groceries and pay their rent. What's wrong with that?
Then have them do something that's perhaps more useful. Build that bridge instead of dig that sod.
I think they're doing both. Okay, point made. Dan Gaynor, the VP and T. Boone Pickens Fellow at the Business and Media Institute. You can read his perspective over at businessandmedia.org. A spirited discussion. Dan, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you. Take care.
Good talking with you. We will continue on this topic and bring you up to date on what's going on with the conference. And I am so disappointed in the House. Let me tell you why right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
There are only 3 days left until Valentine's Day. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $39.99. Don't wait to order. The big day is this Saturday, and supplies won't last. ProFlowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days, and ordering from ProFlowers is much easier and faster than standing in line at the florist. This is your last chance to get your roses and free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day for just $39.99. Here's what I want you to do. Go to ProFlowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com, password Hartman, or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with 2 N's.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wilson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wilson and friends, weekday 6 to 9, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Al museo está al lado del parque. Al museo está al lado del parque. El museo está al lado del parque. El museo está.
When you realize you're actually speaking in another language, you won't be able to stop. Experience the joy for yourself with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-509-9122. Developed around the way you naturally think and learn, Rosetta Stone guarantees that this proven program is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, the same way you learned your first language. And now you can get a free demo as our gift to you. With no translation, no boring drills, and no useless memorization, there's no way you won't enjoy learning a new language.
El museo está al lado del parque.
Try Rosetta Stone for free by calling 1-800-509-9122. 1-800-509-9122. For your free demo, call 1-800-509-9122.
I'm pediatrician Dr. Bob Sears. Recent warnings advise against the use of cold medications for children due to serious side effects and data suggesting that they don't work. Now parents wonder what they can do to keep their kids healthy. My advice is not a drug. It's a natural dietary supplement not intended to treat disease but to optimize sinus and immune health. health. Sinupret for Kids has been Europe's sinus solution for 35 years due to its clinical trials, safety, and effectiveness. I trust Sinupret for Kids, and you will too. Learn more at sinupretforkids.com.
TurboTax presents a message from Andrew Jackson.
To end up on the $20 bill, you know I must have been smart. So you'd be smart to listen when I say, use TurboTax. See, TurboTax has a deduction maximizer that automatically looks through over 350 deductions, making it easy to get the maximum refund you're entitled to. Oh, and just between you and me, not only am I smart, but I'm very handsome.
TurboTax. Choose easy. Get started at TurboTax.com. Deduction maximizer included in Deluxe Premier and Home and Business.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American man.
21 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, helping you win the water cooler wars. Right now on Capitol Hill.
Of talent through this program. Anyone who cares to comment will take the first volunteer. Mr. Mack.
Any bankers want to speak up?
I think at the most senior levels, I'm not as concerned. But it levels below that, and we are seeing it already.
They're talking about, oh, my God, are we going to lose our employees because we might not be able to pay them as much? I thought that when businesses failed, they went out of business. And if it's a business that has to do with the commons, like a water company, a utility, or an electric company, or a bank, when it fails, then the government steps in and picks up the pieces and says, okay, we're going to protect the commons. We're going to protect the people. But the businessmen who screwed this thing up, to hell with them. And frankly, that's my message to the bankers and to Mr. Geithner. Now, all that said, here's why before we went into the break, I said I'm very disappointed with the Democrats. We're seeing that there is a deal, right? The National Journal, for example, the right-wing National Journal reporting, House Dems walk fine conference line. They walked a fine line in stimulus conference negotiations seeking concessions on schools, construction funds, and other items while preserving enough of the Senate Democrats' agreement with three moderate Republicans to get a final bill passed. What the Democrats could have done in the House of Representatives, what they could have done is they could have said to the Democrats in the Senate, you wusses, you've got more than 50 votes. There are 100 seats in the Senate and you have 58 votes. It takes 50 votes plus the vice president to break a tie. It only takes 50 votes plus the vice president to break a tie to pass a piece of legislation. So pass the damn bill. Pass it consistent with your values and your beliefs. Why are you caving in to three Republicans who are delivering ultimatums? Here's Arlen Specter yesterday on Chris Matthews saying, take it or leave it. It's our way or the highway. The Republicans are dictating this bill. Why? Because Harry Reid won't call their bluff and demand a filibuster. The Democrats are backing down, backpedaling, wussing out. I am just tremendously disappointed. And frankly, I mean, it is better than nothing, right? Okay, I'll give you that. It's better than nothing, and things are moving in an appropriate and positive direction. It's not like the authorization to invade Iraq kind of thing. It's not like the FISA bill that's selling out the Fourth Amendment. I mean, this is not a huge sellout by the Democrats, but it's establishing the tone for the next 4 years. The very first major issue, it's, oh, let's make nice with the Republicans. Yeah, we'll give in a little. We'll crash our value. Well, it doesn't matter. And who's defining the terms of the debate? Arlen Specter. The guy who came up with the single bullet theory when he was a lawyer for the Warren Commission. Arlen Specter is defining the terms of the debate. Everybody in the media, all the talking,
isn't it amazing how the moderates are now the ones in power?
Well, they're the ones in power because the ones who are actually in power aren't willing to exercise it. And I know that you've got progressive Democrats in the House of in the United States Senate who are telling Harry Reid, well, maybe not Democrats. You got Bernie Sanders anyway, telling Harry Reid, Harry, force their hand. Can you imagine if Trent Lott was the Senate majority leader on the Republican side, right? If the Republicans held the Senate and the Democrats said, and the Republicans had 58 votes, you only need 50 to pass. They had 58 votes. And the Democrats came along and said, we don't like what you're doing. What would Trent Lott be doing? He'd be out there going, nuclear option. We're going to blow this place up. You guys are going to go along with this. And in fact, that's what happened. Or if it was Bill Frist. You know, why? It's not like Harry Reid hasn't seen this done. And by the way, I'm not the only guy asking this. I mean, I've been asking this for years on this show and pretty outspoken about it. And Bernie Sanders has been basically ever since he's been in the Senate, which I think has been about 2 years now, a little over 2 years. But just the other day, Chris Matthews was asking, you know, one of the I don't recall if it was a commentator or a senator, you know, why don't you guys just have a filibuster? Why doesn't Harry Reid just call their hand? Just say, OK, guys. Chips are all in. It's time to get up and start talking. And do it on a Thursday afternoon instead of taking the weekend off. Say, yeah, we'll stay here through Sunday. You think you can talk 24 hours a day for 3 days? Fine. We'll let the American people hear all your arguments about why there shouldn't be any sort of stimulus, why there shouldn't be any sort of a jobs bill, why there shouldn't be building of schools. Why, you know, come on, Harry. And to the Democrats who are, to the conferees, all these, and so many of the moderates among the conferees. Come on, Nancy Pelosi put forward a very strong piece of legislation, and she was very positively outspoken about this. She needs to be over there kicking Harry Reid's butt around the room.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past. Yeah, it didn't work in Iraq, did it? Welcome back. 34 minutes, and it won't work in Afghanistan, by the way. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Congressman Peter DeFazio on the line with us, a man who I have, for whom I have tremendous respect, one of the best progressives in the House of Representatives, and I'm proud to have you as a representative of my state of Oregon, my adopted state here. Congressman DeFazio, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the opportunity.
I just went off on a tear here a few minutes ago. I am really concerned that Harry Reid will not force the Republicans to filibuster. And so what we have right now in the United States Senate is three Republicans and a couple of quote moderate end quote Democrats defining the terms of a debate that I thought was decided with an election. They have more than 50 votes over there. Why are the Democratic conferees not saying to the Senate conferees, why are the House conferees not saying to the Senate conferees, sorry, guys, we're not going to do it for Arlen Specter. You have 51 votes over there. Stand up.
Well, I'm hoping that's what they do say. There was a lot of words exchanged in our caucus yesterday. A lot of us feel very strongly about that. We feel if we cave on this one and let them pretend they need 60 votes to do everything, then we might as well just throw out the agenda for the rest of the year and let the Republicans write it.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely true. They could make them filibuster, at which point that would expose the paucity of ideas on the Republican side. After 3 or 4 days of 24 hours a day tax cuts, I think the American people would be saying, hey, give those guys the hook. And, you know, and secondly, the Republicans got a ruling from the parliamentarian back when they were in charge, which they used to threaten the Democrats with. They said, look, we've got a ruling. You know, we can change the rules here with 51 votes, which
right.
we have.
The so-called
and we're
going to
prohibit, you know, we're not going to allow the 60 vote stuff. No more. And
yeah.
why won't they do that?
I make a joke about it, but it's a sad joke that somebody needs to stand outside Arnold Schwarzenegger's mansion, and on the first of the month, when that box comes from Mexico with the testosterone and steroids in it that he shoots himself up with, they need to snatch that, run to Washington D.C., get a syringe, and when Harry's not looking, stick him in the butt with it. I mean, this guy needs to get some mojo. He needs to, in any case,
come on, Tom. You know, I know, it's a club. And you don't go against the mores of the club.
But that wasn't true for Trent Lott. That wasn't true for Bill Frist. That wasn't true that wasn't true for Lyndon Johnson.
I know, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm totally frustrated over here, and they're telling us we're going to have an emergency caucus sometimes this afternoon. So I'm afraid instead of having a difficult conference where we stand up for our principles, they're going to tell us, oh, we caved in and here's the deal. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they could already have a deal. But
you're talking the Democratic caucus, not the Progressive caucus.
Yeah, Democratic caucus.
Okay, well, in any case, pardon my going off on that. The thing that I originally wanted you to come on about was I heard you talking with Carl Wolfson this morning on KPOJ on our morning show about how you discovered in the TARP legislation, in the original TARP legislation, that there is a provision that Henry Paulson put in there, perhaps unwittingly, that gives us the ability to say to those bankers and speculators and the so-called investment banks, the basically roulette houses, that give us back the $18 billion in bonuses. These guys are testifying before the House or the Senate right now, before Congress right this minute. Tell us about this, Congressman Peter DeFazio.
Well, I was pushing my legislative director. A state legislator said, look at excise taxes. So we were looking at all sorts of ways to get the money back. We kept running into constitutional barriers, retroactive taxation, all that. And finally, he decided to take a look at the documents, they're online, the TARP loan documents, and he found an extraordinary thing. That is, these are not written as contracts. They have a provision that says, should Congress change the law pertaining to anyone who takes this money, that law will apply. So we could go back and reclaim the $18 billion in bonuses. We could go back and force them to lend some of the money that the taxpayers borrowed for them, which was supposed to free up credit. We have extraordinary tools here, and instead you have this pale shadow of, or this pretend kind of executive compensation limitation coming out of Mr. Geithner. And now we're being told that, in fact, the very modest limitations put into the bill by Ron Wyden and Claire McCaskill will have to be stripped out because they are deemed by the Congressional Budget Office to cost money, and we would have to cut other programs if we made those executives I don't buy the theory, because if we get the money back, it seems to me that's a net gain. But they're saying we lose $10 billion in revenues by restricting their bonuses over 10 years.
Now, the reason why, and I understand that the logic behind that is that if you don't give these executives $10 billion in bonuses, they won't pay income tax on that $10 billion, and therefore you won't have revenue from the income tax?
Right, as much as they pay income tax, since many of them have offshore accounts or, you know, they have all their tax dodges going for them. And at the most, most of them are paying 15%. They don't pay taxes like working people. They just pay on their dividends or their investments, you know, at a lower rate.
It's amazing you have any hair left. I would be pulling my hair out looking at
you
this.
You see me lately? What is it?
I know, but you're looking good, Congressman DeFazio. You're looking good. I'm just astounded. You have discovered that we have the power. We, the people, have the power to say to these banks, okay, fine, we gave you $350 billion. You used $18 billion of that to pay your own executives. Give it back now. We have the power to do that, and yet this administration. Now, is this an executive branch decision or a legislative branch decision?
No, they can't. No, we have to. It actually is specific. We have to pass a law. So even if they wanted to, which they clearly don't, they could certainly ask us to pass a law and give them more authority or just do it.
Right.
But they have not done that. They proposed these very minimalistic sort of things that have to do with companies that people who lied or committed fraud. I mean, just a little tiny pat. I mean, come on. We got the same problem with Mr. Geithner, who pointed out to us at the caucus. He didn't ever work in the private sector. That's true. But he went to lunch and dinner with these guys. He socialized with these guys when he was head of the New York Fed. His kids went to school with their kids. They're in the same groups. They probably vacation in the same places. Well, maybe not. They have more money than he does. But in any case, he doesn't want to hit him hard. And besides that, he says, hey, they'll go work for foreign banks. My answer to that is, that would be great, because that might give us a competitive advantage. If all the people who destroyed our banking system went and worked for foreign banks and more competent people moved up in the ranks in our banks, then we'd have an advantage because the foreign banks would be destroyed.
Well, and in fact, I played a little bit of the live hearing here as I was coming into the last segment, and one of the members of Congress was asking the question, you know, are you worried about your executives leaving in the face of all this controversy and the possibility that bonuses will be restricted? And he said, well, at the senior level, no, we're not so worried, but we get down to the junior executives and whatnot. Yes, we have some concerns. And I'm like, fire them! Let them go. I mean, we need to take a lesson from what Sweden did. Anyhow, I wanted to get that on the record, and I just wanted to bounce this off. You got any other bombshells here to drop, Peter?
But it was, you know, Tom, it was one of those aha moments. I had one like this once many years ago when I found out that my little local utility, which was into this Washington public power supply system for millions and millions of dollars of debt for plants that are never being finished, I had an aha moment when I found in our city charter that we couldn't be obligated unless we'd had a vote, and we hadn't had a vote, and ultimately I caused what was then the largest bond default in history. It's peanuts these days. But
cool.
This was another aha moment. It's like we can go back and get the money back from these guys. Gnashing of teeth, but it's an aha moment that has about the same result. I went to my my mayor, my city council back then. They're like, well, we'll go talk to the lawyer. The lawyer works for the utility. The lawyer's worried about his liability. So the same thing here. It's kind of like I have the aha moment. I go to the caucus. Everybody's going to love this. And then it's like, oh, no. In fact, we've got to take out all the restrictions because it costs money to restrict executive salaries.
Right, because then they won't have income that they'll pay income taxes on, which, you know, this
which
is.
They don't pay.
Right, which they don't pay, yeah, because they all have accounts in the Cayman Islands. So is there any, for our listeners, is there any call to action? Are you going to propose any legislation? Or
we're having it drafted as I speak.
Okay, so,
yeah.
So when you
going
have
to introduce legislation.
So when you have a House resolution number or some name for the legislation, can you let us know? And I will ask our listeners to call their representatives and say, pick up Peter DeFazio's, you know, bill, whatever it is.
Yeah, I would request. I was trying to work with the TARP and come up with an acronym and have like TARP 2, and it would be, but playing off their TARP thing, you know, because you got to have catchy names around here. So the contest, if someone can come up with a catchy name on the bill to get our money back, let us know. Send us emails.
There you go. And people can email you at defazio.house.gov?
Yeah.
From your website?
Yep.
Okay, great.
And
here's a suggestion.
You know, there's a filter thing. Look up an Oregon zip code, and then you can get through.
Okay, plug in an Oregon zip code.
Yeah, from my district.
You can use mine. It's 97219.
No, you've got to use one from my district because of the filter. So
oh, right, okay.
So 97401. There's
97401. Okay. Yeah. And here's my suggestion. Why not call it the Toxic Relief Asset Program TRAP?
Well, you're in the running here. I like that.
Because we're going to relieve ourselves of this toxic asset program.
That's a good one. You may get credit here. We'll see what else comes in from the list.
Okay. Thank you so much, Congressman Peter DeFazio. Great talking with you today.
Thanks, Tom.
It's always great talking with you. And we need a Congress full of Peter DeFazios and Bernie Sanderses. These guys, by the way, some of the founders of the Progressive Caucus and good buddies back when Bernie was in the House. And just the very best, the very best. 866-303-2270, your calls right after this.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money. It's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
I love you.
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 However you say it, make sure you're heard. This Valentine's Day, Zales can help you say I love you like never before with diamond gifts starting at the incredible price of just $99. Delight your love with a piece of jewelry that sparkles as much as she does and discover for yourself the amazing values that Zales offers. Love rocks at Zales, America's diamond store since 1924.
Every year, Sleep Country sells literally thousands of new mattresses from the best brands. And every year, mattress factories change their models, so Sleep Country has to clear out hundreds of last year's mattresses. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday. Save on selected Simmons, Sealy, Beautyrest, and Posturepedic. These are brand new mattresses. They're just last year's model. And don't miss closeout savings on floor samples, scratched and scuffed, and customer returns. And this week only, get 36 months free financing with minimum purchase. That's no down and no interest for 3 years on approved credit. See store for details. But Sleep Country's huge year-end clearance sale ends Monday, President's Day. Guaranteed comfort, best selection, lowest price.
Sleep Country, USA.
Only 6 days left to get President's Day weekend savings at Sleep Country's year-end clearance sale. Plus, through Monday, get free financing till 2012 on selected mattress sets. Sale and special financing ends Monday.
On the national front, National Collectors Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of the last surviving United States minted Morgan silver dollars. We'll give you the number for free information and a free DVD in a moment. But first, they've been called the most sought-after coins in American history, coins with a fiery past. More than 300 million Morgan silver dollars were melted down by the government during both world wars, and millions more were melted by silver profiteers in the 70s and 80s. Now, the National Collectors Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of original United States minted Morgan silver dollars, all in brilliant, uncirculated to fine condition. These Morgan silver dollars are hefty, rich with historical value, and packed with more than 3/4 of an ounce of gleaming silver, available now on a first-come, first-served basis. Free information and a free DVD are available to the public by calling 1-800-600-5909. Please dial carefully 1-800-600-5909. 1-800-600-5909.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
My girlfriend, she's a feminist. She gets mad, she gets pissed. She thinks I'm a selfish cat, a little old something I got from my dad. But I respect her right to choose an equal chance to win or lose, and I support her career. In fact, tonight she's gonna buy the beer. 'Cause I'm broke.
Yeah, increasingly the story across America. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. By the way, there's a if you have an iPhone, or I think it's just an iPhone application, it's called Talk Radio. and you can listen to our show as well as a whole bunch of others. I mean, there's conservatives on there as well. I just got a note from the developer, David Kiley, says they're expanding their list of progressives for this and asking for suggestions. You can give them feedback also if you download the application. It's just called Talk Radio, and it's it tells you, it localizes you where you are, where your host is. I've got nothing to do with this company. This isn't a pitch. I downloaded it. I thought it was kind of cool. I'm just telling you about it. Anyhow, Max in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Max, what's on your mind today? Oops, for some reason, Max, there we go. For some reason, my call screen, Max, yeah, it is. It said it's producer. Max, go ahead. You're on the air. No, I've got Max. I've got him locked down. Hey, Max, what's up? Somebody just grabbed line four. Okay, here, Max. Max, you are now on the air. What's up?
Yes, good morning. I'm going to talk about Ayn Rand.
Okay.
We'll talk about Atlas Shrugged.
Want to do that?
Well, I don't know why, other than I enjoy it when you discredit her. But I've been, without hearing her name, I've been hearing her thoughts lately from the Republicans, their fellow travelers, the Limbaugh thing, when they are talking about these folks at the top being punished for their success, punished for their talents, punished for them being them, and after all, they make it all go around.
Right. Go ahead.
Have you been getting this from some of them?
Yeah, of course. And this is the old talking point. You're absolutely right, Max. They're all still worshiping John Galt. And how dare you punish the people who destroyed our economy, who made off with trillions, who made off with billions, the guys who are, on their private yachts, and they've got checking accounts in the Caymans, who are paying half the interest rate, income tax rate of the vast majority of Americans. How dare you? Yeah, you're absolutely right, Max. Very well said. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Karen in Alameda, California. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Tom. I'm as angry as you are about Harry Reid's lack of spine, and I'd like to do a favor for your listeners, if I may. I have Harry Reid's phone number right here. I'd like them all to call him and demand a Mr. Smith filibuster.
Okay. By the way, let me preface this by saying if people go to callcongress.org, there's a bunch of toll-free numbers, plus the regular phone number for the Capitol Hill switchboard, which will also get you through to Harry Reid's office. But sometimes calling the direct line works better, and you've got that number. Everybody's
yes,
got their
do.
Pen ready now. So, Karen, fire away.
202-224-3542.
3542. Mm-hmm. Great. Karen, thank you very much, and I don't know. We got to figure out a way that Harry can talk to Arnold. We've got to do it. Rod in Rainier, Washington. Hey, Rod. No, Rod. Morgan in Virginia. Hey, Morgan, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi,
yeah,
Morgan.
It's me. Listen, I had a couple of things that I wanted to touch base with you. One of them has to do with your cat Higgins.
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to do that privately or on the air now. It's up to you. This is your show, of course.
What about my cat Higgins?
Okay, I don't know if you recall. I spoke with you briefly last Friday when Bernie Sanders was on.
Yes, you're the person who makes a living as a pet psychic.
Excuse me. And a healer. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he seems to be having some type of issue with where he sleeps. His bed, his bedding, he's not happy.
Okay, well, thank you for telling me that. I know what it is. He used to sleep in our bedroom, and in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd come land on my head and suddenly have this purring attack and wake me up. And so now he is out of the bedroom. He is sleeping in the living room, and he's not happy about it. You're absolutely right.
No, he's not. And I can email you the rest. I don't want to take up your caller's time.
Okay.
But may I email you the rest of the information?
You certainly may, Morgan. My email address is on my website, and I do read my email.
Okay. So. Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, you had asked me if I want to say anything about my practice. Would it be permissible to give my business phone number with you now? Because we did get a telephone call from a lady in California, San Diego, when she heard me on your show.
Oh, that's great. Morgan, it'll be more effective if you have a website, if you tell what the website is, because most people can't remember phone numbers and they don't write them down that fast. Louise just made
it. I have a business email address. Not a website, but I have a business email address.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's fine. You're an advertiser on one of our local affiliate there.
WVAX in Charlotte,
right.
Virginia.
So how people can get in touch with you? How?
Okay, I don't mind giving my business phone number out to him.
Okay. Let's just do it, Morgan, because I got to move him along to the other calls.
Okay, it's in Virginia. It's area code 434.
Mm-hmm.
The number is 806-7456.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
I also wanted to thank you. I happen to be helping out a friend of mine, and because of your influence and wonderful, I don't know how else to put this, influence and encouragement, we have someone here who works for President Obama along with me, and she is now running for our city, one of our progressive city council seats because of you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you very much, Morgan. I appreciate the kind words. Rick in Grand Rapids. Rick, got about a half a minute, three quarters of a minute here before the end of the hour. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think we should be pleased, you know, that we have at least three moderately sensible Republicans in the Senate, and that'll, you know, cross the 60-vote threshold. You know, you have to deal with the realities of this.
But that's not the reality, Rick. The reality is you only need 50 votes to win a vote in the Senate. You need 60 votes to stop debate. And nobody has said to the Republicans, okay, start debating.
But I think even Bernie, when he comes on the show Friday, sometimes has tried to explain to you the realities of how things
Because Harry Reid has decided to play by those rules. Bernie has also pointed out that, in his opinion, Harry Reid should force the Republicans to filibuster. He should call their hand.
The thing is, Tom, it looks like we might have a deal by the end of the week, perhaps, which is pretty fast.
I understand, Rick, and I understand, and I agree with you on that caveat. You know, let's give Obama his due. He got something done. He got it out there, and let's, you know, give a tip of the hat to the Democrats in the House and the Senate who actually made something happen. It's just that, as Peter DeFazio pointed out, if we start out with this assumption that it's going to take 60 votes, it's always going to take 60 votes, and that's wrong.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome to the second hour of our program. By the way, in the third hour of our program, our Everything You Know Is Wrong, it's going to be a doozy. I'll just leave it at that. Craig Shirley is with us. He is the biographer of Ronald Reagan, the president of Shirley and Bannister Public Affairs, sbpublicaffairs.com. Craig, is there a better website for you?
No, that does it, Tom. Thank you.
That does it. Okay, sbpublicaffairs.com, which is a PR firm that, by and large, promotes conservatives and conservative causes, and you certainly are one, sir. You're quite upset about John Meacham and Evan Thomas's piece in Newsweek. We are all socialists now, and
No, I wasn't upset about it. Actually, I thought it was trenchant. I beg your pardon for interrupting you, but
quite all right.
The headline of the magazine was a little bit harum scarum, but the meat of the story, the gist of the story, especially what they said about the Bush administration, was correct. Is that George Bush and Henry Paulson opened this Pandora's box of government meddling in the economy, and indeed, you know, if you go by the textbook definition of socialism, whereas the state controls the means of production and distribution, the textbook definition of communism is the state owns the means of production and distribution. And when Henry Paulson and George Bush moved to purchase at least partial ownership of banks and other lending institutions, that would move this country toward communism.
Well, except for the fact that banks don't produce anything. If they were,
well,
you know,
sure,
I think you could make a case for General Motors.
They produce loans.
No, they don't. They're the holders of the specie, of the currency that we use in our country to facilitate the transfer of services and products. And as such, I would submit to you that they are the holders of part of the commons.
My response would be, I say there are many definitions of production in this company.
Right, but you don't think that
country.
not just
cars and material goods, but also you produce opportunities to create wealth and banks or ownership. They certainly produce opportunities with the home mortgages for ownership. So you would say that they produce that, or they create the opportunity for that. Certainly.
Yeah, I don't see banks as the producers of wealth. I see them as the holders of the commons. Just like, you know, I don't think that we could argue that our schools are producers of wealth. They're the holders of our commons. Our socialist police departments are not producers of wealth. They're holders of the commons. But without them, we wouldn't have the ability to make wealth.
But wouldn't you say education is a production?
No.
You would not. Okay.
No.
Well,
I consider it part of the commons. This is where I suspect, Craig, you and I part company. My definition of socialism, and I understand Karl Marx defined socialism as government ownership of the means of production and distribution. And right. And today that has become the definition of communism. But if you ask anybody in Europe, particularly in the northern European countries that all refer to themselves as democratic socialist countries, what
right.
socialism means, they will tell you that socialism, what democratic socialism means, is that the government is the provider of the commons, the protector and the provider of the commons, and that commons is the soil in which private business and human life, the quality of life, roots itself and flourishes. And I would say that we're about halfway into that in the United States. We have socialized police departments. We have socialized fire departments. We have socialized schools. We have a semi-socialized transportation system. Our roads are mostly owned by the state.
Our farm economy is completely socialized.
Right, and it shouldn't be.
I agree, because that's actually producing something. And we're going to agree on this. I don't think our farm economy should. I would credit Bill Clinton and the Republican Congress with freedom to farm, which started a glide path to get farmers out of being socialized and operating in the free market where they should have been, you know, for many, many years. And it was George Bush and the Republican Congress who put them back into a socialized, subsidized system.
Well, if you want to use your terms, I don't disagree with you. Here's the problem, though, with calling this the free market. There ain't no such thing as a free market. It's just like there's no such thing as a free football game. A football game has rules. It has referees. It has goalposts. It has lines. You know, you've got innings. You've got downs. You've got rules to the game.
Agreed.
And there's no such thing as a free market. A market is the creation of the society that has decided what kind of market they want to have. And in 1881, when Senator Sherman, the Republican from Ohio, submitted Senate Bill Number 1 in December of 1881, which came to be known as the Sherman Antitrust Act, mm-hmm. one of the things that we all agreed on in the United States was that businesses at a certain size become toxic, that the so-called free market can actually be anti-capitalist. Capitalism can reach a cancer stage where it destroys itself, and the Sherman Act was an attempt to limit that. Ronald Reagan put an end to that in 81. Stopped enforcing it. Nobody has enforced it since. We've had all these mergers and acquisitions. And therefore, I'd say that in the realm of food and farm, you've got over 80% of the food now in the United States either produced, transported, or processed by four companies. That's
right.
Wrong.
I think it's worrisome, definitely. But
wow.
I wouldn't blame Ronald Reagan for that. I would say that those things came about in the last 8 years, that recent development came about in the last.
Oh no!
And
the
other thing,
but
there's also no doubt there was a cultural change in this country, you know, from the time of the 1930s up until the present, as far as the whole idea of the family farm and the Homestead Act, and it just didn't become financially
that happened in the
efficient. 80s.
That happened in the 80s because Reagan stopped enforcing the Sherman Act against companies like ADM and Cargill.
Yeah, but it started during the New Deal when the bottom fell out of the food market and farmers had no market to sell their wares.
But FDR was supporting small farmers. I will give you that FDR in some ways prepared the ground for Cargill and ADM today. But he was enforcing the Sherman Act and he was trying to support small farmers. I think we're picking at nits here. Let's get back to the larger picture in the 2-3 minutes we have left, and that is socialism. I'm saying that if we want to define socialism the way they do in Europe, which is that socialism is we the people taking responsibility for our commons,
right.
that we need to extend and expand socialism in the United States to include health care, because you can't have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You can't have life if you're sick and you can't afford to go to the doctor. That health care should be part of this, and that these programs that are being promoted right now, to the extent that they have to do with the commons, the ones that have to do with parks and things like that, you would call it socialism. I would call it good.
Right.
Your rebuttal?
Well, no, we would disagree on that, is that we already have socialized medicine in this country. Anybody who's poor and indigent can walk into an emergency room and be guaranteed under the federal government emergency health care.
Right, and that's crazy. To pay $600 for an emergency room doctor to see somebody who's got a cold that could be seen by a doc in a six-minute visit for $40, that's crazy.
Right.
That's a system
right.
that's dysfunctional. It only benefits the Bill Frists of the world. I mean, you know, this is how he and his dad became billionaires. Well, you know, it's true. You know, it's so my point is that I want to advocate in favor of democratic socialism, and I'm not hearing an argument from you about why it's bad.
Because the proof is that it doesn't work. We just discussed how it doesn't work in the farm economy. We just discussed how it doesn't work in the current medical system.
But they have a longer lifespan
in
the democratic socialist countries. They have a better quality of life. They have a lower...
As much as a personal libertarian as I am, I would not argue for the unfettered growth of monopolies. I think that there is a role for government to act as the policeman. On the other hand, the question is how far that role that government goes. And oftentimes government goes too far. We have the reason as Michael Kinsley said, I thought it was very funny years ago, he said, when people get in trouble in Washington, not for illegal things, but for legal things.
Yeah.
And what Tom Daschle got in trouble for was not, you know, not paying his taxes, but that he made so much money so quickly selling access to a system that is so big and is so arcane and so complicated that people feel the need to hire people like that.
Yeah, I share your horror about that. And yet, when Reagan came into office, there were fewer than 1,000 lobbyists in Washington on Capitol Hill, and today there's more than 36,000.
Right.
And I think that we can lay a lot of the blame for this at the feet of both the Reagan and the Clinton administrations, that we've had no serious attempts to clean the system up. And in large part because, by and large, Republicans and conservatives have said, wait a minute, you're trying to mess with the so-called free market system.
Well, as far as lobbyists go, I don't know what you could do that. Their right is protected to petition the government under the First Amendment, as you know. I don't know what we could do about that.
Well,
what
then let's break up. Let's socialize the banks.
I think that, quite frankly, in a nation this big and this complicated with this many people, is that decentralization is not only my own political viewpoint as a Federalist, but it's more practical in terms of meeting.
I absolutely agree with you, Craig. Let's pass a law. We only have a few seconds left. Let's pass a law right now that says that no bank charter can extend beyond the boundaries of a single state.
Well, you got the Commerce Clause. So it would be unconstitutional.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, but we don't have to go to banks, but all we have to do is this idea that Washington holds the franchise on wisdom, I think is ridiculous.
I think it's being demonstrated to be ridiculous. Craig, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but people can check it out at sbpublicaffairs.com. Craig Shirley, thanks for dropping by, Craig.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Good talking with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Tom Hartman here. You've heard me talk a lot about the special men's vitamin called Beta Prostate. I keep bringing it up because every single man listening should take care of their prostate health. When you're younger, your prostate gland is about the size of a walnut, but as you grow older, it can swell up to the size of a lemon. This could mean getting up at night for bathroom trips, difficulty urinating, even sexual dysfunction. So you got to see your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate every day. Not too long ago, we invited the formulator of Beta Prostate, research chemist Roger Mason, on my show. He told us that prostate problems are a growing epidemic, and statistics say that 3/4 of all American men will eventually have prostate problems. And now Roger Mason will be extending his special offer, buy two, get one free. And he's even throwing in his book, The Natural Prostate Cure, for free, plus a money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Call now because this is an amazing value. 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
So I end up with a front row seat in the first primetime press conference.
Noon to 3.
Folks, change is in the air. The Huffington Post was able to ask a question last night to the President of the United States. Helen Thomas is back on the lineup. Big Eddie in the front row. And I tell you what, it all goes to show that
the Ed Schultz Show.
This administration is listening outside the mainstream media.
Noon to 3.
I have earned that seat, and it's probably going to happen again.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Food from the Hood, the nation's first student-managed company, is now celebrating its 15-year anniversary. You can purchase all-natural honey mustard or creamy Italian salad dressings at all major retail stores and online at Amazon.com. Buying their salad dressing sends a student to college. Visit foodfromthehood.com for more information.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Say that to the tell that to the bankers who are testifying before Congress this morning. Yeah.
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in a sack for you. Because the mail.
Yes, we get mail. In this case, voicemail. The phone number, by the way, is over at TomHartman.com if you want to leave voicemail for us. This a message. The fellow has a little bit of an accent. He starts out saying, "Hello, Harry Reid," and kind of goes downhill from there.
Harry Reid. This is a Democrat calling from the state of Florida, and I'm calling to tell you that you're a wasted, pissed up, used up old man. If you cannot do this job, quit.
Okay, we do get mail, don't we?
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in his sack.
Now, here's my message to the caller. You called the wrong number. This is not Harry Reid's office. Never will be. I've said many times, I like Harry Reid. I like him as a human being. I think he's a good and honorable man. I think he's a good and honorable legislator. If he represented me, if I lived in Nevada, I would be very proud to have him as my United States Senator. I just think he's dropping the ball as Senate Majority Leader. I think he's dropping the ball big time. Julian in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on WTKG. Hey, Julian, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I thought of a name for Peter DeFazio's bill.
Oh, great. What is it?
It would be Bring Our Money Back. B-O-N-B, bomb.
The bomb bill, bring our money back. Great. Julian, you should go over to TomHartman.com and post that as a reply to today's blog on our homepage or today's show, and we're going to compile all those things and email them off to Peter at the end of the show, day. So, great. Thanks a lot for the call. Thanks for listening to WTKG. Martin in Indianapolis, listening on Sirius. Hey, Martin, what's on your mind today?
Hey,
Tom, well, two different things. First of all, in regard to this whole idea, you know, the Republican idea, leave the rich alone, they have the right to make a fortune, and so on. This is social Darwinism. And I think it's very funny that the Republicans, you know, claiming to be the representatives of God in our midst, they actually eschew this philosophy of social Darwinism, where the wealthy and the powerful, because they are wealthy and powerful, they should be, and law exists to make it smooth for them, just like right. back in the day, anti-union, whatever. So that's just one point, that there's incredible hypocrisy there, incredible hypocrisy. The other is, I kind of disagree with you about Harry Reid. I think there are some wonderful people like Bernie Sanders. But in general, I think that for those of us who are somewhat cynical about the integrity of democracy in America today anyway, what Harry Reid's doing and what Nancy Pelosi did previously are examples that there's really one party there, that they're two sides of the same coin. They speak differently, but by and large, they exist to facilitate social Darwinism, to facilitate big business.
Ralph Nader would agree with you, Martin. And I can't make an extremely strong argument against your point, and I thank you for making the point. The one thing I would say is that to the extent that that's true, and it is true to some extent, and the one party, by the way, is called the Money Party or the Corporate Party, and it has to do with corporate personhood. I wrote a book about this called Unequal Protection, about how this came into being and how we can undo it. And we do need to. But to the extent that that's true, it's only true because we're not getting involved in sufficient numbers. And that's the good news about Barack Obama, is that he brought millions of people into the political process. He's got those cell phone numbers. He's got those email addresses. And hopefully he will use them. If Harry Reid's unwilling to put the pressure on, hopefully Obama will. But I think this idea of setting the threshold at 60 votes is just wrong. Doug in Santa Fe. Hey, Doug.
Hey, okay.
You're on the air, Doug.
Oh, yeah. Tom, I met you on the Air America tour. Listen, people don't seem to understand the definition of market commodity. A market commodity has to have the aspect of deferring purchase. When I go to buy a car, I look at several different, and if I don't want to buy one, I don't buy it. Or a new shirt or new shoes if I don't absolutely need them. The extent to which an item is not able to defer purchase is the extent to which, to me, it's part of the commons. And that way people don't starve to death.
Oh, that's interesting. In other words, I can't go more than a few days without food. I can't go without health care if I'm sick. I can't go without breathing air if the air is polluted. I can't go without drinking if the water's not available, without putting my life at risk. And that's how we define the commons. Whereas anything that I can defer the purchase of is something that, you know, I don't need a TV. I just want one, or a computer, or a pair of shoes, or what. That's a nice definition, Doug. Very, very well done. Annie and Eugene. Hey, Annie.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
You know, even Jesus Christ couldn't deal with fools. And if the Democrats sit down with asses, they will only get half-assed compromises. it is really like you say.
It's the soundbite of the day.
Yeah. All the business schools in America teach that in times of serious deflation, the role, that even the duty of government is to deficit spend big on the country's productive capacity, which means also human resources. And that's opposed to promiscuously spending on blowing up countries and handing out bricks of $1 billion as hush money. Now, the tax cut tool, by comparison, has a very low multiplier. And you should get Greiner on about this. The key point I want to make is we're involved in an economic Chernobyl. There are people who still believe in that toxicity that caused it. And when they shout things like, your plan stinks.
You're absolutely right. Ann, I'm sorry we're out of time, but you're absolutely right. And the economic Chernobyl is the whole derivatives market. And very few people in America even understand what's going on with that, tragically.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Just as free as we'll ever be.
just as free. Free as we'll ever be. And ever.
Coming up on my schedule here, this Friday the 13th, for our listeners in Portland, I will be participating with a whole bunch of other folks. John Raymond, Peter Ames Carlin, Michelle Gendelman at the Aladdin Theater, and tickets are available through the Aladdin Theater box office or Ticketmaster, with the Livewire show, local show, Livewire, and you can get information about that. I don't see a website here for them. I'm assuming that there is one, but the tickets are available at the Aladdin Theater, Ticketmaster. It's Friday night, Friday the 13th. I'll be there. On February 26th and 27th, we'll be in Washington, D.C. at the Conservative Political Action Conference. On March 7th in Seattle, Washington, the one-day cruise with Louise and me, and that's at am1090seattle.com. March 19th, Thursday in Chicago, I will be debating Michael Medved. This is sponsored by Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com, Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And on May 2nd, I'll be in Denver, Colorado, keynoting the Green Festival, greenfestivals.org/Denver, for that information and anything you may want having to do with that. All strange news out there. I'm telling you, this is, it's got me scratching my head. In 2001, in England, 0.5%, 0.5% of all the pigeons were obese. In 2009, 23.5% of the pigeons are obese. So the top naturist, David Attenborough, visited the city of Bristol to investigate why is this, what's going on. They don't quite know. They don't quite know. Well, I suspect it's because the robotic pigeons from the planet Xenu are acquiring new detection devices. I mean, this is just in the last 9 years, right? This is since the so-called war on terror, and they're not just listening to us, now they're also looking at us and they're reading our emails and things, and that requires a little more electronics there. So they're padding up these robotic pigeons. That's got to be what it is, because you know they aren't real pigeons, because you never see a dead pigeon or a baby pigeon, and there's always pigeons when there's important gatherings going on anywhere in the world. You find world leaders, you find pigeons, so they're spying on us. Ralph in Northampton, Massachusetts, listening to WHMP. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Ralph?
Pretty good. I'm very concerned about what the Republicans are doing. They're spreading all these rumors, and people are buying it, and they're calling all these talk show hosts, and it's all a bunch of lies.
Right-wing radio is absolutely going off on this, and here's the basis of it, Ralph. This is really the core. This is the beginning of the whole thing.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
They've killed about a third of the New Deal. They're trying to kill the other two-thirds. That's what it's all
about.
Yeah,
I know. The other thing is, my family had a business. It was a clothing store for 68 years in Northampton. And that store was opened in 1908. I ran it for 22 years after my father died. And we had everything in that store was made in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into a men's warehouse and went in there. Nothing. They couldn't find one item made in the United States.
Yeah.
So they're saying
it's because we don't make clothes here. Yeah, we don't make clothes here anymore, Ralph, because the labor is
too expensive. We don't make anything
here. Yeah, by and large. And that's the tragedy. You have absolutely identified it, Ralph, and I thank you for the call. It's, you know, it's very, very well said. And Kathy, and thank you. Kathy in Albuquerque. Hey, Kathy, what's up?
Hi. Hey, the Republicans are always railing against communism and socialism. They just throw those terms around like they mean nothing. But, you know, corporations have a lot of communistic and socialistic attributes to them. As far as, you know, you give up your own identity to work for the corporation, you can't step out of line as far as the corporate think. There's a redistribution of wealth from shareholders to CEOs. They have a lot of socialistic characteristics to them, and I
That's
think it's used as scare words.
I would change the metaphor. I would say that they have more in common with kingdoms and fascism than with socialism and communism.
But I think a lot of people think of communism as, you know, everybody is on the same playing field.
Yes, totalitarianism.
Pardon?
It's the common perception of communism is that it's totalitarian, that it's
right.
You know the state is all powerful, and in that regard
exactly.
there is a commonality. Yeah, good point, Kathy. Thank
and
you very much.
People, I think, are more afraid of totalitarianism than they are communism because you know people don't want to give up their public schools. I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to. And apropos, and thank you, Kathy, for that. And apropos of Ralph's comments about his family had this clothing store since 1908, and now he can't find anything made in the U.S. Much of it is made in communist China. Peggy in Los Angeles. Hey, Peggy.
Hi. I keep hearing every conservatives getting on and talking about having insurance and so health insurance and any other kind of insurance, that it shouldn't be a government thing and that it should be done through capitalism and the free market.
Right.
The free market, following what the guy was saying before, but in a slightly different slant, the free market and capitalism, it works. I was a business major. It works for commodities and services. And actually, when you get down to it, an insurance policy is a lottery ticket. And you effectively go, you can use free market capitalism when you first buy your health insurance policy.
Right.
And once you've done that, you are stuck with that ticket.
Yeah,
I am watching so many people, including some conservatives recently, who have suddenly found out and gotten slapped in the face with the fact that once somebody in your family has any kind of a disease at all, be it a heart attack or diabetes or anything, suddenly the free market is just not there.
Yeah.
So to say that you want to use the free market as a model for insurance, that's not what the free market does. It's for commodities and services, and health insurance is not a commodity, and it's not really a service.
Because
once you've bought the ticket, you can't go buy that.
And it even goes beyond that, Peggy. When you call it a lottery, I think you're maybe you were being facetious, but you're much closer to reality than I suspect you realize, because when you buy insurance, you are betting, literally, you are betting with the insurance company that you will get sick or you will die if you're buying life insurance, and you are hoping that you lose the bet.
I'm serious about it.
And that's, it's totally bizarre when you think of it that way, but that's what insurance is.
That's
Peggy, thank you very much. Well said. I appreciate the call. Pat in Northampton, Mass. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Not much. Hey, the person you had on before, Ralph, I grew up around his store.
Oh, really? Isn't that great?
I miss it. But anyways, I just wanted to say that Harry Reid has this website that you can email him. I mean, let's bombard it. Tell him to stone up.
Is that, reed.senate.gov, or is it?
No, just go into Google, type in Harry Reid.
Okay, great.
And it'll bring you right to it.
I'll track it down. Pat, thank you very much for the heads up on that. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Adrian in Studio City, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Adrian.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here in California, and I know that for every tax dollar we send to Washington, we get back less than we sent.
Yes.
So yesterday I did some research, and I found the redistribution of tax dollars. And the amazing thing is the states that are getting the most back are the states that are railing about tax cuts and government spending too much. So you get something like California sends a dollar, we get back 83 cents.
Mm.
Alaska gets back $1.80.
Yeah.
West Virginia gets $1.75. Mississippi, $1.70. So it's just unbelievable. Like, I think what they should do is, if they really believe in these tax cuts, they shouldn't take back any more than they give.
There you go. Or write it right into the legislation that if their senators voted against it, that they get nothing. Good point, Adrian. Thank you very much. Yeah, in fact, I think it's David Sirota who coined the phrase red state socialism, because that's essentially what it is. Michael in Miami, listening on WINS. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Tom, hi. I'm a lawyer here in Miami. I'm also a diplomat, and I always thought I was a conservative. And since I've been listening to you, I realize that either I'm a progressive or you're a conservative, because we think alike on almost everything.
Maybe we're both just good, loyal Americans.
Actually, that's right. I heard your discussion with DeFazio a little earlier.
Yeah.
I myself am dismayed by the inability of the Democrats in Congress to actually say we have the majority vote. And this is the way that this is why we were elected to office. This is why the American people put us here, and we've got to do our constitutional duty.
Yeah.
Instead of playing these games with numbers and trying to appease now a minority.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and they're not even appeasing the Republican Party. They're appeasing three Republicans.
Actually, that's right.
Three Republicans? You're doing all this for three Republicans? Come on, give me a break. It is time for Harry Reid to say, okay, you know, here's the quote for the day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody needs to become part of Harry Reid's vocabulary when he's talking to these guys.
Tom, don't you also think that now that Hillary Clinton is a Secretary of State, that our foreign policy should reflect the thinking of modern-day America?
Yeah, I
and
think
not
it
the
should.
8 years we just lived through.
Yeah, and I think increasingly it will, Michael. I'm actually very optimistic about Hillary Clinton being Secretary of State. I wanted her to be the Senate Majority Leader because she knows how to take names and kick ass, and that's what we need right now. I didn't get that, but, you know, Secretary of State ain't bad. We'll be right back, 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-6475. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes, and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-6475. That's 1-800-400-6475. 1-800-400-6475.
When I first looked into LASIK, my doctor said I'd have bad night vision. I'm glad I went to 2020 Institute for a second opinion.
LASIK at 2020 Institute has never been safer or more precise. And for a limited time only, save $1,000 off worry-free LASIK during our 2020 Institute anniversary event. With zero down and 0% interest for 2 years, LASIK has never been more affordable. Call 2020 Institute at 503-771-2020. That's 503-771-2020 or visit us at 2020institute.com.
Little extras make a big difference, like the little extras at Les Schwab. Free hot coffee and popcorn, and with your purchase, a free warranty that includes free road hazard protection, free flat repair, free tire rotations, free air checks, and more. And right now, free beef with the tires you buy. Beef for your table, tires for your car, party pack, or fresh from the freezer. It's a big extra at no extra charge. But hurry, free beef ends February 28th. Free beef now at your Les Schwab Tire Center.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to talk to you about Hawthorne Fish House's new $5.95 cash lunch menu. Choose from six delicious combos like fried cod or chicken strips with fries and coleslaw, or warm up with a bowl of chowder and a salad. Combos also include your choice of soda, lemonade, tea, coffee, or juice, all for just $5.95. What are you waiting for? Offer valid weekdays between 11 to 3 only at Hawthorne Fish House when paying with cash. And be sure to check out their gluten-free menu available at both Hawthorne Fish House Southeast and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
James Gorman, the co-president of Morgan Stanley. It is not a bonus, it is an award. Yeah, caught on tape. We will share some of the audio with you in the next hour. The banks, two banks that took $60 billion of your dollars and mine, taxpayer money, are having this kind of secret, although they didn't realize it was being taped apparently, conference call with their senior executives saying, don't worry, guys, we're going to get you your money. Just please don't refer to it as a bonus in the press. Very smart. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, if you call it something else, it doesn't count.
That's right. It's not a bonus. It's deferred compensation of the 74th type of the, who knows? Peter DeFazio has discovered, by the way, Victoria, that in the TARP legislation, in the original bill as written by Paulson and Bush and everybody else, there is a clawback provision. There actually is a piece in the bill which says that if Congress passes a law asking for the money back, the banks have to give the money back. So they can ask those banks that have given $18 billion in bonuses to give back the $18 billion to the taxpayers. And he's going to be introducing legislation to that effect, and he's asking our listeners to come up with a proposed name for that legislation. So we're asking people to go over to TomHartman.com and post possible names. We'll pass them along. Or they can go to Peter DeFazio's website, defazio.house.gov, and plug in an Oregon zip code like 97401 and give him a proposed name for that. But if you have any ideas, feel free to pass them along.
Oh, I can think of some creative ones.
Good.
Sure there's going to be some good ones coming up.
Yep, let us know. So what's going on in the world? What's happening in Washington, D.C.?
Well, there's a great deal going on. It looks as though House and Senate leaders have struck a tentative deal on the stimulus package with a top-line figure of $789.5 billion. That's what they're saying anyway. We're holding our breaths collectively to wait and see. The president's not going to be 100% happy because his making work pay tax credit, which he was hoping to be $500 for individuals and $1,000 for families, is going to be cut to $400 and $800 for married couples.
Right.
But nevertheless, we'll see. Conferees are scheduled to meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's kind of a formality, but we'll see whether they really do have a deal. It looks at the moment as though they do. The Republicans who were on board with the passage yesterday have said that if it goes above $800 billion, they will no longer be on board with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's to the point of why do we need these Republicans? I've been ranting about this all day. Why doesn't Harry Reid just say, go ahead, make my day, filibuster this thing?
It would be a very interesting result.
It would, and it would be a result that would accrue incredible benefit over the long, both the short term and the long term, to the Democratic Party and to the Democrats in Congress. And it would, bring some considerable harm to the Republicans, because everybody in America would see that they were not interested in bailing out Main Street, that they only wanted to look out for Wall Street, and they would be seen as the obstructionists that they are. I don't get it why Harry Reid won't do this. I just don't get it. And I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people out there scratching their heads on this. Anyhow, what else is going on?
Well, Defense Secretary Gates said today that he is ordering this review of the military policy that bars photographers from taking pictures of returns of coffins, and he set a short deadline for the decision. He's saying if the needs of the families can be met and the privacy concerns can be addressed, the more honor we can accord those fallen heroes, the better. So it looks as though they are seriously looking at this.
Good. Good.
Yes.
This following up on the question that was asked of Obama at his town hall yesterday, as I recall.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. A follow up on
President
that.
Obama. I have to get in the habit of always calling him President Obama. After all the, you know, after a year and a half on the campaign trail. Anyhow, continue. I'm sorry.
Yes. As you probably have, I imagine, already been talking about, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, we have two stories relating to him, actually, and White House Chief Counsel Greg Craig talked yesterday about Leahy's proposal to set up this Truth and Reconciliation Commission to investigate potential crimes of the Bush administration.
Yeah. Now, my understanding of this is that it would be in lieu of a prosecutorial role for Congress or for the Justice Department, for that matter. And let's find out what happened, but let's not try to put anybody in jail. I'm real ambivalent about that.
It seems to be. Now, Leahy talked to the Huffington Post and did say to them that Congress will likely proceed with investigations regardless of whether Obama is on board.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Obama is not exactly ambivalent, but seems to be against the idea of prosecution, unless it, you know, unless the video of with, you know, actually pulling somebody's fingernails out.
Yeah.
If he has
there actually is video of people. I don't know if they're having their fingernails pulled out, but you know the various equivalents of it. There is video of that. Although the CIA did destroy a lot of it, there's still enough of it around that. You know, it could get pretty grisly.
Yes. Yes, it could. So it's going to be interesting to see. We may end up with a dual track, but I suspect what is likely to happen is that there are enough of them in Congress who feel strongly about this that they are very likely to have hearings and that the Obama administration is just not going to be happy about it and are just going to have to, frankly, suck it up. I think it's quite likely that that's what's going to happen on this one.
Good, because the people, that's what the people want. I mean, the vast majority of Americans want some sort of an investigation. They want to know the truth. You know, whether there's a prosecution or not coming out of that, probably there's a smaller number who are in favor of that. I'm among them. But at the very least, let's find out what happened. And if there's obvious crime, well, Obama has said, you know, if there's obvious crimes, being in office shouldn't insulate you from those things.
Meanwhile, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a hearing today chaired by Senator Patrick Leahy. The need for increased fraud enforcement in the wake of the economic downturn. Turns out the FBI has reported a 100% increase since 2005 in the number of fraud investigations it's opened, a 100% increase. More than 60,000 cases alleging mortgage fraud were filed in 2008 alone. Wall Street financiers, according to Leahy, and unscrupulous mortgage brokers were among the principal contributors to the economic collapse.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, just to some small extent, they were, and it does need to be tracked down. That's good. Thank you, Victoria. Thanks for the overview and for the information.
Thank you very much.
Always great to hear from you. TalkRadioNews.com, by the way, the website. How to love like a hot chick. Everything you know is wrong. Coming up next, just for Valentine's Day.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, you know, sometimes you know what you know, and sometimes you know what you don't know, and sometimes you don't know what you think you know, and sometimes, in fact, as the Firesign Theater likes to remind us, everything you know is wrong.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync.
It thinks that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is everything you know wrong about how to love like a hot chick in consideration of the upcoming Valentine's Day and the fact that the two hot chicks who run this show, Louise and Sean, made me do this segment. We have Jody Lipper and Serena Vincent on the line with us. They're the authors of a new book, How to Love Like a Hot Chick, a Girlfriend-to-Girlfriend Guide to Getting the Love You Deserve. The website, heydayproductions.com, heydayproductions.com. Jody and Serena, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for coming on. So, Jody, what's the definition of a hot chick?
Well, that is a great question. We actually, when we talk about a hot chick in these books, we're not talking about, you know, a woman who looks like she walked off the cover of an airbrushed magazine. We're talking about a confident, empowered, passionate woman who knows what she wants and isn't afraid to go out and get it. Don't you agree that that is what a hot chick is?
It sounds good to me. Serena, why this book? Why a girlfriend-to-girlfriend guide to getting the love you deserve? And is it just about, is it about love? Is it about sex? Is it about, you know, what's relationships?
Well, a good question. You know, Jody and I started with our first book, How to Eat Like a Hot Chick. And that was sort of the girlfriend-to-girlfriend guide about food and body image and basically telling women to eat what they want and celebrate with food again and quit letting their low self-esteem and their poor body image run their life. And so this book is sort of a follow-up to that natural progression, is about love and relationships and dating and all the things that women torture themselves over in this area. You know, and the girlfriend-to-girlfriend advice is, you know, it's not like any of those other boring relationship books out there. It's really fun and uplifting. We give great advice and great tricks for anything in any relationship scenario.
Okay, so Jody, you're recently married. What is your best advice to women about how to find the love of their life?
Our number one piece of advice, first and foremost, is to A, know what you want, and B, really trust that you can and will find it and that you deserve it. You know, so many women watch romantic comedies where there's the nice guy that you're not really that attracted to, and then there's the bad boy that you have a lot of chemistry with. And a lot of women don't think that you can get both in the same package, and they don't believe that they deserve to find that true love and that chemistry and that passion. And once you really believe that that's what you deserve and that it is out there and that you can find it, it makes it actually possible, and you begin to attract those the right kinds of guys into your life. And so that's our number one piece of advice.
Serena, I was speaking yesterday with a friend of mine who is following up on what Jody just said about the right person, who is a psychiatrist and an author. And he commented that there's this social phenomena that has a lot of people in the sociological and psychiatric field scratching their heads about how, arguably for the first time in human history, there doesn't seem to be a historical precedent for this, people are getting married and having babies after 30 rather than under 20. It typically, you know, right up until 100 years ago, it was almost always under 20. Over the last 100 years, it became in the early 20s. Now it's the late 20s and early 30s. And his comment to me, which I thought was really interesting, he said, you know, this may be the first generation that will never live long enough to see their own grandchildren, which is an odd thing. And it seems to be driven by this sociological phenomena of there is a right person out there, and I must wait until I find that person. What do you know, just on a serious note, what do you think about the sociology and psychology of all this?
Well, that's really interesting. And, you know, it is true. People are getting married and having babies later than they used to. And, you know, what's tricky about that is that when you if you are waiting around for the one, for that right person, you know, you can be pushing it into your 30s and so, you know, or later. And then the older we get, the more set in our ways we get and the more jaded we get. And the more scared of settling down we get. So, you know, that's interesting. And, but, you know, we give advice to women of all ages, and it really doesn't matter what age you are. As long as you know exactly what you want and you start, we have this, part in the book called Build a Boyfriend. And if you fill out this section and, in great detail, you figure out exactly what kind of man you want, what kind of relationship you want, and then you sort of put it away and you go back out into the world and you start attracting different men, no matter what age you are. you will find that one person once you're specific with the universe and yourself of what you want.
There you go. So sort of the law of attraction on steroids, no pun intended. Jody Lipper and Serena Vincent, the authors of How to Love Like a Hot Chick, the Girlfriend-to-Girlfriend Guide to Getting the Love You Deserve, our Everything You Know is Wrong segment for the day. Jody and Serena, thank you both for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
And
thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. Heyday Productions, H-E-Y-D-A-Y Productions.com is the website. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, getting back to all things political, I suppose. Eric in Portland. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind today?
I heard the guest that you had on the top of the last hour, and his response to your idea about limiting bank charters to state boundaries
yes.
was that somehow the Commerce Clause prevents that from happening.
Right, and I pulled out the Constitution and reread the Commerce Clause during that following break. It's Article 4 or 5 of the Constitution. Yeah, Article 4 of the Constitution. And go ahead.
It in no way prevents that from happening. It grants to Congress the authority to regulate interstate commerce. And if we look at the history of the jurisprudence around it, the Supreme Court has used this clause very expansively to actually allow Congress to regulate intrastate commerce.
Well, and in fact, that was the argument that was made against the civil rights legislation in the 1960s, in 64, 66, and 67, by the conservative. In fact, it was the basis of one of Strom Thurmond's filibusters, was that the Commerce Clause was being violated when Bobby Kennedy was out there saying within states that a restaurant had to a restaurant that did not engage in interstate business, it only did business in one state, that they had to follow a federal law, and his whole argument was that you are engaging in manipulation of commerce within a state, and you really only have the authority to manipulate or control or regulate commerce between and among the states.
Right, but what the Supreme Court said is that if it's, you know, and the classic case is also Wickard, where a wheat farmer was producing wheat on his farm for his personal use, not even selling it. But what the Supreme Court said is that because he is no longer buying wheat from the interstate commerce, he is affecting interstate commerce, and that allows Congress to regulate that. And the same thing is true for the civil rights regulation.
That's how it got justified. And in fact, if it's true for civil rights, if it's true for wheat, it's wildly true for banks because they're handling our currency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think your idea deserves more thought, and I just wanted to make sure that it didn't get just tabled because of this Commerce Clause problem, because it isn't a problem.
Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you very much. Thanks for validating my thinking process. Every now and then it's not totally off the rails. And I think that this is, you know, this is a non-Sherman Act, doesn't require a decision about, you know, how big should big be, although there is going to be a challenge. I mean, you know, California is the eighth largest country in the world economy-wise, so a bank in California could be a real giant compared to a bank in Nevada, for example, or in Wyoming, you know, or Vermont. But to say that a bank may only do business within the boundaries of a state. Another one that I've always thought fondly of is to say that a corporation, whatever state the corporation is chartered in, the majority of its board of directors must live in that state. And that, which is actually was law in many states back in the 19th century, and even in the early 20th century in many states, that I think would curb many of the corporate abuses, because people, the directors of corporations would have to face the people whose actions their lives are changing. Craig in Napa, California. Hey, Craig, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm curious if you're familiar with Dr. Patrick Byrne and his deep capture and his presentation, Dark Side of the Looking Glass.
I believe I've seen a video on the web about this. Are you talking about the guy who's suggesting that the plunge protection team is part of the whole control and manipulate the economy?
Well, he's from Overstock.com, and the Dark Side of the Looking Glass explains how they have basically counterfeited stocks with the derivatives.
Right.
And it's something you talk a lot about. And I was going to ask if you were familiar with the plunge protection team that was.
I am that, yeah. That was That was put in place back you know, many years ago. It's the Secretary of Treasury and the head of the Fed and the head of the SEC, and there's one other person, as I recall. But, yeah, Craig, I am to only in a marginal sense, and thank you for reminding me of it. We should get somebody on. You know, Ellen Brown has come on. She's a real expert on the Fed, webofdebt.com, by the way, and talked about the Fed. We need to get somebody to come on and talk more about the Plunge Protection Team and its genesis. 14 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
He's an outsider.
This is a demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset. Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620. KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry. When this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Food from the Hood, the nation's first student-managed company, is now celebrating its 15-year anniversary. You can purchase all-natural honey mustard or creamy Italian salad dressings at all major retail stores and online at Amazon.com. Buying their salad dressing sends a student to college. Visit foodfromthehood.com for more information.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
My car is back outside. I'm afraid. Hey, it sounds like Louise and me. She's got the brains, I got the looks, right? Anyhow, welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And
meow, 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 meow.
Yes,
meow,
our Higgins meow, alert. Meow, this is kind of a sad one, actually. Took 3 hours, Jim Adams reporting in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, took 3 hours for 15 masked workers and police officers to remove 118 cats from a couple's reeking home in the Lowry Grove Mobile Home Park in St. Anthony on Tuesday. This in the Twin Cities area. The woman fits the classic profile of an obsessive-compulsive animal hoarder, Keith Streff, the senior investigator for the Humane Society. A sad case for both animals and their owners. They had removed 72 cats from the same couple's residence when they lived in Coon Rapids, he said. So if you live in the Twin Cities and you're thinking of adopting a cat, now might be a good time to contact the Humane Society because I have a feeling they have a surplus. Edward in Massachusetts. Hey, Edward, what's up?
I was calling about this stimulus bill.
Yeah.
And how there's a thing that was inserted to ration health care. Is that true?
No.
Then why are they saying that on all the shows that I've been listening to and the website I went to?
Because you've been listening to right-wing talk radio. There is nothing. First of all, the government doesn't have the ability to ration health care because they don't control it. And secondly, no, there is nothing in this legislation that would ration health care. Anytime you get anything close to health care, like, gee, let's expand the number of children who are covered under the state child health insurance program, the SCHIP program. Then all the cons come out and go, oh, if you're going to give insurance to a million more people, that means that there's still 10,000 who didn't get it. So you're rationing. Come on, give me a break. Gary in Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on Nova M. Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Just great. How about you?
Okay, good. I'm good, too. The reason I'm calling is essentially the price of oil is currently the price per barrel for sweet crude is $37 a barrel. There is an overabundance of oil because people are conserving, so there's more gasoline. Change oil for gasoline. There's more gasoline available than anybody knows what to do with. The price of per barrel is going down. In fact, the lowest it's been since it hit $147 was $34.85. It's currently at $37, and they're jamming us with a 60-cent increase on gasoline. It seems as if, another example, Toyota. Slashing 20,000 jobs. What if the guy who runs Toyota said, you know what, instead of me making 15 million, 10 million, and laying off 20,000 people that make between 40 and 10 or 15,000, let's keep them working, and I'll take a pay reduction.
Well, the problem is if nobody's buying your cars, you're not going to have it makes no sense to have people manufacturing them. They're scaling back manufacturing. The point of Toyota is that, you know, many of those job cuts are actually happening in Japan, not in the United States. We're experiencing a worldwide slowdown, a worldwide recession.
There's no question.
You know, there are business cycles within business cycles. You've got that, and then you've got the mind-boggling amount of theft and Ponzi schemes that were created when Phil Graham and Wendy Graham and the Reaganites, you know, kicked open the door on commodities trading and things.
Exactly. And that's what happened, in my opinion, with the commodity. Actually, it's a fact. If you go back to the day after New Year's Eve, the Friday the market was open,
they jacked
the price of gasoline from $38 a barrel on futures traders. They jacked it to $45. Mm. It's come down 8 points since the 2nd of January. $8 a barrel.
No, I think if your point is that when oil was over $100 a barrel, it was an artificially created bubble, you know, created by speculators. I absolutely agree with you, and to that extent, the reason it went down as fast as it did had to do with speculators driving naked shorts, driving down commodities prices. I agree with you. And these are the kind of things that this is one of the reasons. In fact, Gary, this is one of the reasons why I suggested in an op-ed that I published, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, that Ralph Nader wanted to come on the program earlier this week and talk about. And he was on the show, as I recall, on Monday. We were discussing this. suggested, and I, by the way, I'm not unique in this. Dean Baker was suggesting this before I was, and others as well, that we go back to a tax that we abandoned in the 1960s. I think 1966 was the last year we had it, which is a 0.25% or 0.1% tax on every transaction over a stock market, whether it's a commodity or whether it's a stock or a bond for that matter, that there be a very, very small tax on these things. And what that will do is it'll make it a lot harder for people to slam markets and to speculate like crazy, particularly with money that they don't own or with stocks that they don't own. And it will reduce the velocity of money and exchanges in the system. And that, in my opinion, would be actually a good thing. It would be a healthy thing for the system. And not only that, at the current level of trading, it would generate about $400 to $600 billion in tax revenue. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
It's your radio support group for We the People, the Tom Hartman radio program. Here's James Gorman. This is the co-president of Morgan Stanley in this conference call either yesterday or today, talking to his employees about the bonuses that are coming. You can expect these soon.
As I said, the timing, the final details of the award will be before the end of February, likely in the next couple of weeks, and as I said, maybe a few days either side of the 30-day promise. Could well still beat that promise, but might be a few days later. But just bear with me. We're working through, as I said, a lot of issues here.
Yeah, so we're going to get you the money. Don't worry, but please don't call it a bonus.
Number one, there will be a retention award. Please do not call it a bonus. It is not a bonus. It is an award, and it recognizes the importance of keeping our team in place as we go through this integration. We said we would be providing a retention award when we announced this initially, and we will be providing a retention award. I know I've repeated this three times to you already, but that's for a reason. Some of you have been asking me, will we be doing it? Won't we be doing it? Can we do it? And so on. We will be providing a retention award.
Pigs at the trough. And by the way, we're going to base this on the 08 performance, not the 09 performance. In other words, we're going to make sure that you actually get some money.
The award will be based on 08 full-year production. I think I can hear you clapping from here in New York, but I'm not sure about it. But you should be clapping because, frankly, that is a very generous and thoughtful decision.
This is $60 billion of our money this guy's talking about passing out to these people. All right. He took $60 billion of our money. He's not going to pass it all out to them, obviously, but it's from that. Anne Marie in Canton, Michigan. Hey, Anne Marie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. It's great calling in. I just wanted to say that I just got a newsletter from the Penn, and they're basically talking about the stimulus package and how Obama said that he's promoting wind and solar power in the news. Mm-hmm. But in the Senate version of the bill, they say that basically it's a fraud because $50 billion in loan guarantees for eligible technologies there has been deceptively defined so that most of the money will instead go to finance nuclear and filthy coal power plants instead.
Oh, jeez.
Republican Senator Bennett from Utah made sure that was the intent when he snuck the provision into the bill in the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah, just what we need, more coal power plants. I mean, any idiot you would think by this point in time would know that this is destroying the planet. I mean, not to mention dumping tons of mercury into our air in this country every year and the carbon dioxide that's going up the and the damage that's done to the land in producing, it's not produced, it's mined, mining cults, mountaintop mining in particular in the Virginias. This and nuclear power, I mean, there's no free lunch with nuclear power. You've got to use mind-boggling amounts of oil, of fossil fuels, to find and dig uranium and purify it and refine it and transport it. And then, in fact, so much so, according to Helen Caldicott, a nuclear power plant doesn't produce its first watt of actual electricity from nuclear power if you factor out the cost of all that oil that went into building the thing and getting the nuclear fuel together and everything until its 17th year. I mean, it's just it's a Ponzi scheme. It's moving stuff around. This is crazy. Anne-Marie, thank you for the heads up on that.
Well, what they're saying, though, is that because the House bill lacks this garbage provision, you still have a chance to remove it in the reconciliation between Senate and the House. So they say call your congressman right away.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Strip out the nuclear in this. They're probably referring to it as clean coal, which is an oxymoron that you know only a moron would believe. I mean, this is nuts. Yes, absolutely. Call your Congress member of Congress and let them know. We don't need to be bailing out the coal and nuclear industries. Thank you very much. Anthony in Seattle. Hey, Anthony.
Just a point of clarification. Your earlier caller was talking about rationing, and what he was talking about was last night on Lou Dobbs. He had a doctor on, and she had the Senate version of the stimulus package printed out, sitting on the desk. It's like a foot tall, and she had it, sticky notes everywhere, and she was reading verbatim from the Senate version, where it creates they inserted a provision that creates a national database of everyone's medical records so that they can and it also states that the purpose of the database is not only to store but also to cross-reference to see if people are abusing the system
like somebody setting up five different doctors for pain pills.
Exactly. So that is exactly what that guy was talking about as far as rationing.
Yeah. Well, if rationing means that you prevent people from doing what Rush Limbaugh did, I'm all in favor of it. Thank you, Anthony, for the clarification. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Elizabeth in Kent. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi.
What's up?
Tom, is that you? Yeah.
It is. You're on the air.
Yeah, we're not going to get anywhere unless we change the meme. Right now it's set up as the holy free market religion versus the evil commie socialist religion. They've set it up. People believe it. Now, we, the choir, we listen to all the data, all the information, but we don't remember all of it. But we've got to get it beyond the choir by changing the meme. I suggest these Republicans are Mammonites. They serve as the god of wealth. Jesus told us very clearly. You can't choose both of them. We've got to call them the Mammonite Republicans. Hang that around their neck. Versus the Democratic Socialist Progressives. Jesus was the first bleeding heart liberal that I know about who got into a book anyway. First bleeding heart religion. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, heal the sick, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Matthew 25.
Versus capitalism, which serves greed, competition, and war. We've got to get that picture out in front of people who don't understand all the details.
Yep, well said, Elizabeth.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Crash Course. Go online and Google The Crash Course. It's really helpful for understanding this money thing, which is so difficult to understand. Right. Hey, one more thing. Acts 4:32. Go look it up. Christians are socialists. Acts 4:32. Give that verse to everybody you know. It's the Mammonite Republicans.
You've got it. Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate the call. And yeah, let's not also forget, the whole little riff about camels, getting into heaven versus camels through the eyes of needles. I mean, Jesus was a socialist. Frank in Los Angeles. Hey, Frank, what's up? Frank?
Yes.
You are on the air.
Yes. One comment about Reagan. The reason they reinvent him is because they keep naming everything after him. So when the historians talk about Reagan, and he's lucky because Bush is going to be the worst president, he's going to be the second worst president. But when the people read the history books, they'll say, why did they name this road after him? Why did they name that airport after him if he was such a lousy president? That's how they reinvent him. But the thing is, what I'm calling about is when you get hit over the head with a stick, you know what's happening to you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're right. And we're
so how is it that they don't know what's happening to them in this economic crisis?
I think they're figuring it out. If you're talking about the people of the United States, I think that they're figuring it out. In the Thomas Frank, what's the matter with Kansas sense, Frank? I think that Americans are figuring it out, and it's why Obama has such a high popularity rating, and it's why Harry Reid should be using that, should be leveraging off that right now to be, you know, absolutely raising hell and making things happen. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Christopher in Taos, New Mexico. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Tom. I called in a few months ago during the campaign and mentioned that it would be a good idea for President Obama to have the U.S. re-sign the treaty to become members of the World Court.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to worry about retribution or getting his hands dirty. The international community can take care of the Bush crime family and their war crimes.
Although it would be a real black eye on us if we didn't do it ourselves, don't you think?
Well, we could participate, but I'm just saying that there would be a great deal more international support and improved national security in terms of our, you know, the in the eyes of foreign countries if they were allowed to participate in that, you know, judicial process.
Yeah. Good point. Well said, Christopher. Thank you very much for bringing that back to the front of all of our collective consciousness. Glenn in Oregon. Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Top of the morning, Tom. Responding to the gentleman who suggested the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, were two sides of the same coin. Are you still there, partner?
I am. I'm listening.
Okay. Essentially, Ferdinand Lemberg did a pretty nice piece, America's 60 Families, and while it's a bit dated, he described the political structure as more or less the property party, with the Democratic wing being the mercantile commercialist and the Republican wing being the military industrialist type. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it might be true that they're two sides of the same coin, but it's certainly more beneficial for middle class and below to have trickle-up economics in terms of commercialist
mercantilist policies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to some extent, I think you could say that the Clinton administration actually made it that way. Bill Clinton and his whole free trade thing and empowering these large transnational corporations as opposed to the military-industrial complex, which, of course, was the province of the Republicans.
One irony of the commercialist mercantile Democratic side of the property party is that the biggest company to gain from, say, a $2 an hour, $300 a month increase in wages for the middle and lower classes is probably Walmart, because they're actually in a position where they'll spend that money straight away.
Yeah.
And Walmart opposing an increase in the minimum wage is really kind of silly.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And maybe they'll figure it out. I don't know. We'll see. I just think that they're so locked into, you know, their own. Well, you've got the Walmart billionaires, you know, the Sam's children worth billions. They need more.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
You've heard me talking about Dr. Arthur Perry's revolutionary anti-aging serum called Night Skin. I'm truly fascinated how the main ingredients, retinol propionate, glycolic acid, and vitamin C, interact with each other to reduce fine lines and wrinkles. It even helps to eliminate unwanted dark spots. I did some research on the cosmetic medical profession and uncovered something interesting. It turns out that every person ages in their own unique way because the face is composed of several fatty tissue compartments that are affected by gravity in different ways. This is a major medical breakthrough uncovered recently, and it's changing the outlook on how doctors treat aging. Dr. Perry's Night Skin formula can be used to treat your entire face or just target troubled areas. It was specifically developed to safely tighten and tone your skin. Night Skin is convenient, affordable, and results are visible in less than a week. You can try Night Skin today risk-free by dialing 1-800-491-8335. That's 1-800-491-8335. Night Skin, the newest breakthrough in anti-aging. Call 1-800-491-8335.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evenings 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
In the next minute, I'm going to challenge you to believe it or leave it. How? I'm going to show you how you can get a brand new, top brand laptop free. Just log on to freelaptopchallenge.com. Of course, a lot of you won't believe me, and I guess, unfortunately, you'll forget this ad and miss out. But there are listeners who'll give it a try and log on to freelaptopchallenge.com, and yes, they will be able to get a brand new laptop free. See, thousands of people have received free laptops online, and now you can too. It all works because companies got smart. Instead of blowing their budgets on expensive TV ads, they now give away stuff online. So what are you going to do? Ignore this ad? Or log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and get yourself a top brand, top quality laptop for free. Even if you don't have access to a computer right now, this offer is available all day. So write this down, freelaptopchallenge.com. I'm telling you, it really is that easy. Who wouldn't want a free laptop? Go on, I challenge you. Log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and check out all the details. Freelaptopchallenge.com.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142. 1-800-900-3142.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Maybe Mike Huckabee is. Get this. Former Governor Mike Huckabee, the Republican from Arkansas, and former Republican presidential candidate, he's opposed to the stimulus bill. Why? He says it is anti-religious. Yeah. Seriously, this is a myth that has been running around the right wing for about a week. It's one of those viral emails that's gone all over the place for 46 years, which I assume goes back to the beginning of the whole you can get an IRS tax deduction if you're a church. I mean, that happened during the Johnson administration. For 46 years, every spending bill in Congress that gives money to colleges has said this money cannot be used to build a chapel on the college. If you want to have a chapel on the college or a synagogue or any other kind of religious building, you have to get local funding. You have to go out and write a grant for it. You have to get a local, you know, religious group to fund it. And so that language has been part of legislation 46 years. It's never been controversial. It's just the law. And, of course, it's part of this bill. And Mike Huckabee is going off on it. He is terrified. Come on, Mike. Get a life. Bill in Chicago. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show. What's up?
Yeah, I just saw somebody on MSNBC from the Washington Post, and he said that some of these lower
and executives, or whatever they are, traders, he called them, were getting base salaries plus commissions, and that's what these bonuses are.
Yeah, the bonuses are the commissions on the trades. On the trades that that many would argue should never have been made in the first place. And they're making very good money, thank you very much, these guys. So, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Jim in Texas. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, listen, I got a question for you. Maybe you can explain this to myself and my business partner. We consider ourselves conservatives, but I got to admit, obviously, I listen to your radio station. Obviously, there's some changes going on in the nation. We both work in the medical field, and we deal with insurance companies on a daily basis. I've got a question that's twofold. Number one, how is it possible that the federal government can invest billions into the insurance industry? Okay, the same insurance industry that reimburses us, the medical provider, the same industry that the Attorney General of New York, Mr. Cuomo, has chastised and brought to court and had litigation with and won for trying to reduce those reimbursements, but then turn around and say that they're going to fairly reform the entire atmosphere of the medical community without having a vested interest because of the finance. And then my second question is, surely somewhere along the way, someone's got to realize, not that I'm opposed to it, we've already started using an electronic medical record, but surely they've got to understand that that will reduce jobs, and the whole reason is because the insurance companies will no longer have to pay thousands of dollars in salaries, wages, and benefits to the call centers that process our claims. They'll all be done by electronic means. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate the call. Number one, you're right. The insurance companies are leeches on the back of our healthcare system. And I think I have some real huge reservations about doing anything that's going to bail out or help the insurance industry as a whole. I think that the intent, from what I've heard, not only have I not read this legislation, nobody has read this legislation in its entirety. At least nobody, maybe a legislative aide, but we're talking about bills that are hundreds of, if not thousands of pages thick. But the intent was to make the healthcare system work better, make it run more smoothly, make it so that if you live in New York and you get sick in North Carolina and you walk into a hospital there, that they know exactly who, or you come in unconscious to a hospital, that they know, you know, who you are, what's going on, what meds you're on, whatever it may be, and they can take care of you appropriately. And to reduce the hassle factors. Whether it's going to play out that way or not, I don't know. And this is where I keep saying I'm real ambivalent about this. I see the benefit of centralized medical records. I see where it works very well for the Veterans Administration, by and large, for example. On the other hand, I also see the privacy concerns. And on the third hand, the one that you just raised is this whole issue of, are we just bailing out the health insurance companies? Are we just going to make them more profitable so that Dollar Bill McGuire, the guy, the former CEO of United Healthcare, can take home, well, he already took home $1.78 billion in compensation when he retired 2 years ago for his last 10 years of service, so that the subsequent president, the current CEO, can take another $1 billion out. As to the jobs in the call centers, if this or any other legislation, for that matter, I mean, this is one of the arguments that's made against national health care. If it means that thousands or tens of thousands of people who are right now basically calling you up and saying, we're not going to pay for that one, or you've got to redocument this for the fourth time in our hopes that maybe you won't send the letter in so we won't have to pay for it. If those people lose their jobs, I don't have a problem with that. Those are not good jobs. We need to be stimulating the economy in a way that the jobs that are created are jobs that are not destructive to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as I said in my opening rant, the health insurance industry is a parasite on the body politic of America and on the physical body of Americans, and frankly should, you know, just be relegated to dealing with the uber rich and boob jobs and capped teeth, or put out of business altogether. Bob in Florida, got about a minute here before we wrap this thing up. Bob, what's up?
Yes, Tom?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, I called my congressman, Tom Rooney, today, his office, and when I talked to his staff people, and I reminded them that over half of the people in the country are in favor of this passing, she came right back and said, oh, no, it's just the opposite. 90% of our calls are against the bill.
Right. That's because Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and all these guys are on radio right now telling their listeners to call their members of Congress. They're running a radiothon, and it's working.
Boy, that's hard to believe because a lot of people are out of work in my district, and I can't imagine people out of work calling in and saying that.
Well, see, that's the problem. They're out of work, And they think that the stimulus bill is the TARP bill. They think that they've heard all the horror stories today. You know, the bankers paying all the bonuses and things. They're horrified by that. And they think this is what that is. This is a failure to communicate on the part of the Obama administration, frankly. Tomorrow's Darwin's 200th birthday. Ray Comfort is going to drop by and let us know. You can his new book, You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence But Can't Make Him Think. And Christy Harvey with the Center for American Progress is going to drop by. Don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you soon. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.